At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is Gojo and Golic with Mike Golic Jr. and Mike Golic Sr. on VSiN, the sports betting network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Gojo and Golic. Mike Golic Jr., Mike Golic Sr., Claudia Bellafato, all out here in the DraftKings studio in Boston, as I think it was Teddy Bruschi that used to say, the day before. As we get ready for the 2024 NFL draft here. Lots to get to on that. We got a fun show for everybody today. As always, download, subscribe, rate, review us, leave us a five-star rating. Check us out here live Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern on the DraftKings Network, our YouTube channel, the best of Gojo and Golic on VSiN, noon to 1 Eastern.
But we do have some football NBA and much more to talk about. On the clock, Jordan Morgan and Steel Chambers will join the show. West Side Story, AFC and NFC West draft preview. And it's poll season, baby, breaking down NBA player polls. I said yesterday, the guys now on the East Coast, they have to deal with these late games. Oh. But at least we got some dramatic endings for game two, guys. 2-0 lead for all three teams that got the dub. We got to give the respect to the Cavs. They were in there, too, with the win over the Magic. Nuggets and Knicks as well. Nuggets down 20 at the half to the Lakers. Jamal Murray missed 13 of his first 16 shots. And then he said, you know what? I'm going to keep shooting. His teammate said, just keep shooting. He did 6-for-8 in the fourth quarter. The most important shot, though, the buzzer beater. Jokic also 27, 20, and 10. And because Murray got the buzzer beater, nobody's really talking about that. That's insane.
The quietest 27, 20, and 10 I've ever seen in my life.
Right. Well, and you know what, Dad? The reason that's happening right now, because this Jamal Murray buzzer beater, no doubt going to be something that leads for a lot of people. Great moment against a great defender. Like the fact that this is against Anthony bleeping Davis, and he got that switch and said, oh, yeah, game time. I got this one. Shout out to LeBron James lying again, by the way, saying, oh, yeah, I knew it was good as soon as he let go. I called game for him. Classic LeBron James stuff right there. The reason all of this is going to kind of fall by the wayside is because every star player last night decided, you know what we're going to do? We're going to wake up and make game two of the first round about officiating. And that was true of the 76ers game earlier when we heard Joel Embiid and Nick Nurse and everybody there complaining about officiating. And it was true late as we had LeBron James and Anthony Davis both walking out of their press conference with emphatic mic drops because everyone at every turn decided, hey, this is about officiating. Anthony Davis getting in foul trouble right as Nikola Jokic starts to come online in that third quarter and really take over that game. In the Sixers game, the final 30 seconds were no fouls called on Tyrese Maxey as the Knicks get ready for the Dante DiVincenzo go-ahead. So, Dad, Adam Silver got to be waking up this morning banging his head against the wall because you had really compelling action that now is going to be, I think, largely overridden by a lot of the officiating conversation.
We'll get more into the 76er one because we're always talking about do you call fouls at the end, let them play a little more. But this also involved a coach trying to call a timeout that wasn't awarded to him. But let's start with the later game first. And I had to go back to the old way when we lived on the East Coast when I was at ESPN on how to be able to see a game this late. I napped during the first half.
Yeah.
Napped during the first half of it, woke up and watched the last quarter and a half. And I know we're going to – that LeBron complained about the refs and we'll hear it. But you know what? They had a 20-point lead. They had a 20-point lead. You want to have some ref issues? Okay, I get it. But you had a 20-point lead you could not hold. Now, they've had leads against Denver in the past. We've seen that. They've played well. Game one, they were up in the first quarter. They were up in the first half. But it wasn't 20 points. This time it was 20 points. And as I woke up from my nap and started watching this game, it was about a 17-point lead. And you just saw chipping away, getting to the fourth quarter. I think 10 or 11. They were under 10 at times. You're like, uh-oh. Here we go, you know, and then that's exactly what happened. They chipped it all the way down to that game winner, which was absolutely incredible.
When in doubt, Denver has the ultimate get-out-of-jail-free card. They've got the ultimate break glass in case of emergency. Oh, things aren't going well. We're down a little bit. Can I interest you in the Jokic-Jamal Murray pick and roll?
Yeah.
Run that two-man game into oblivion and watch good things happen. And both of these guys shouldering the load. I think they had five guys in double digits overall. Christian Brown off the bench. This really only scorer for them in that regard. But when in doubt, you can always go back to that, and the two best players on your team are able to make it work in a way that few other people in the league can in that same circumstance. Jokic, especially, like that. I think the reason the Lakers are so upset about the officiating, obviously the call against D'Angelo Russell or not against D'Angelo Russell,
right,
the use of replay was the subject of a lot of scrutiny for LeBron. But you look in the third quarter, that fourth foul call against Anthony Davis changed the entire tenor of the rest of this game when you're going up against another team whose guy's the big. Now you've got Rui Hachimura matched up with Jokic in the fourth quarter because you don't want Anthony Davis fouling out, and so he gets to go to work. And the minute you give him the opportunity to be the party starter, no matter who your player is, it's a John Donowski Duke lacrosse term, you got to have someone who can be the initiator and get that first win. Once you get Jokic a matchup like that on the block where he's getting him, where he's getting switched onto LeBron or any of these guys, he can now start to cook for everybody else, and everyone, especially Jamal Murray late, more than happy to eat.
Jokic is amazing. His footwork, it looks so graceful and yet looks so dad bodish clumsy. It blows my mind.
The black tights, so there's always the conversation, Dad, you wouldn't really understand, neither would I, quite frankly, about swag around sports and the way that you have to like dress things up. Most other people wearing, like, you know, dark tights, dark socks, dark shoes, makes you look faster, all that stuff. You know, Booby Miles, Booby goes out there and gives it to him with black Nikes on his feet.
Right.
None of that applies to Jokic. Him wearing black tights and his pasty white upper body somehow makes everything look less athletic at the same time, but still very impressive. I don't fully understand how we're doing this with him.
But Jamal Murray is 9 of 24 in both games.
Yeah.
He has not been shooting well yet. You keep shooting. And as Claudia mentioned, 6 of 8 in the fourth quarter, started hitting those mid-range jumpers. And you hear the announcers in the game saying, you know, you got to start hitting something, whether it's a layup or that he was hitting the mid-rangers, start to make something to get your confidence back. Though I don't think your confidence is ever lost when you're a shooter like that. You just keep shooting. You just think you're going to make every one. So wrong statement by me to say to get your confidence back. You're going to keep shooting. But that last shot, when it cleared out and he's up against Anthony Davis and he does the little baseline mid-ranger over the outstretched arm, and you see the ball in the air, light go off, ball go in. Even LeBron knew the ball was in when it left.
Of course, LeBron always shows. Of course, LeBron predicting the future.
It's
the
exactly right.
Time.
But really, really incredible. But I'll continue. One thing I don't understand is the one foul that was called and then reversed. D'Angelo Russell got hit in the head on a ball right by the basket as he was going up for a shot. And they they wanted a replay of it. And sure enough, the foul was called off, and Denver got the ball. And listen, the last, and anybody who knows me over the last couple of decades, I'm going to admit when I don't know something. I guess we certainly all don't know
everything.
It happens
pretty often.
Yeah,
so
it's exactly right.
You would have no other choice, really.
So I get that. He was hit in the head after the ball left the hand of Russell. So, again, it wasn't a foul there. But I don't know how you can hit somebody in the head and not be some kind of foul. I'm sure it will be explained to me.
Last I checked.
I know.
Listen, excited for this two-minute report that will change absolutely nothing about the outcome of this game or the feelings of the players involved.
Yeah.
But, hey, NBA, you did your job.
If I know you can hit somebody in the head, as long as it's not in the act of shooting, man, I'm going to go crack some people in the head. But, I mean, because he clearly got hit in the head. That was indisputable, right? And yet, they don't call it, or they reverse the call, Denver gets possession.
I think you hit the nail on the head, though, when you said earlier, I don't think it mattered if that was called, you know, whether it was timeouts. I know we're talking Sixers or not. I think it's pretty clear with both of these that the Knicks are just playing like a harder team and more confident, and the Nuggets seem to be as well.
Yeah.
You also said the Nuggets, five guys in double digits. If you look at this Lakers game log, it's really only LeBron. 26 and 12, AD 32, D'Lo, but everybody else is, you know, two or three shots. Nobody's really facilitating with assists. The rebounds aren't there. So I look at this and I understand the Lakers got that big lead, which if you listened to me and said, look for the live lines, you could have got a great price on the Nuggets when they were down 20. I don't see how the Lakers can turn this thing around because of the talent of the Nuggets, the depth, but also just the confidence. Yeah, they're not the sexy, super athletic looking LeBron James type, but they're just the better team.
It is the better team. They look every bit like the juggernaut we've expected all along. We'll get plenty more on that and what happened with the 76ers last night as well. But we mentioned off the top, it's draft week around here. And this has been a draft defined in a lot of people's minds by beef. This offensive line class is deep. It is incredibly talented. And so for more on that, we're excited to bring in one of the best trainers, developers, scouts of offensive line in the game right now. Duke Manyweather, the founder of O-Line Masterminds, joining us here on Gojo and Golic. And Duke, let's start there. We appreciate your time. You know, you train and coach up some of the best offensive linemen coming out of college in the NFL. The O-Line Mastermind Summit that you and Lane Johnson helped put on has become a staple of off-seasons around the league. And so when you look at this offensive line class right now, what stands out to you overall about this group that's been so talked about in the lead-up to the draft?
And I tell you what, first of all, thanks for having me. But this is a deep group, specifically at tackle and at center. I can't remember the last time where we were talking about maybe, you know, 8 to 10 names that could be first round guys in the first round in terms of tackle. And then you're talking about maybe 8 to 10 guys that will eventually be starting centers out of this draft class. And I tell you what, the guys that are slotted in there as guards are no slouches either. Overall, if you need an offensive lineman, specifically tackle and center, this is a great year to have a need. And I think that especially at the top of the draft, when you look at guys like Joe Alt and you look at Olufosinu and Fuaga and some of those other guys, Latham, it's some really fine picks that teams can get.
So, Duke, you know, over the years in Mike calls games, I would call games, and we'd look at positions going from college to the NFL, and it seemed like the O-line was a position that had a lot of transition, the way the game was played in college to the way it was played in the NFL. So what has been your biggest adjustment you've had to help these players with from the college game to the NFL game?
Yes, that is such a great question, and there's a lot to it. I think we first have to look at how the game has evolved and how these defensive linemen have evolved. We're looking at these athletes that some have been, track sprinters, hurdle runners, basketball players. So we really have to change our mindset and how we change. How we train. The days of the, 6'8 and 365 and 70-pound offensive linemen, there's some of those guys still around, but you're starting to see the guys that can run and move a little bit, like your Lane Johnsons, your Teron Armsteads, your Penei Sewells, and all those type of guys.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more,
Right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
About the Niners, they get the 31st pick. Arizona at the top gets 4-27, Seattle 16, and the Rams 19. Adam Schefter said the Cardinals are in, quote, the catbird seat in his latest draft article, which we're going to need somebody to tell us what that means because I have no idea. But basically, he said they won't be looking to make a trade until they're on the clock. So, Senior, first, please, what does that mean, catbird seat?
It means they're in a catbird seat means you're in a great position. Okay. They're in a great position to do nothing but draft Marvin Harrison Jr.
Okay.
This is a no-brainer. Okay? Your leading receiver.
Unless.
Your leading receiver.
Maybe.
Your leading receiver was the tight end. Your next two leading receivers are gone.
Are sure.
Your wide receivers are gone.
Present some challenges.
Okay? You have Kyler Murray played 8 games last year. Now he's got an offseason of being healthy. Get going on that offense. Give him the best receiver in the draft. I know people think Malik Nabers. Either way, Marvin Harrison Jr., don't overthink this one.
Well, so
get him.
Hear me out on this.
Okay.
We're talking about a draft where there is a potential for 4 quarterbacks to come off the board very early
right.
in this draft. We're talking about a draft where a team like the Minnesota Vikings is sitting down out of range and could have to trade up if they want to get one of these guys, assuming the top 3 teams as they sit right now all could take quarterback 1, 2, 3. If they offer you something akin to what the 49ers got or had to pay years ago to get up where it's multiple first-round picks and a ton of capital for you later on for that spot to draft, and so you'd have a quarterback there, you'd be moving back within range to still probably get one of the big 3 wide receivers in this class in Marvin Harrison Jr., Rome Odunze, or Malik Nabers, I feel like that's a call you got
to.
You always say you got
to
pick up the phone.
And
if someone's offering you 3 firsts to move up to that 4th spot, I don't know how you turn that down.
Well, you're absolutely right. You do answer the phone. You absolutely answer the phone. A lot comes down to, you know, as I went on that.
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
Is what are your grades? If you're right. If you have Malik Nabers or Rome Odunze close to Marvin Harrison Jr., then you certainly could think about something like that.
Or if you have them graded well and then also factor in, hey, if we're picking up another first rounder right. this year, a couple next year potentially, other picks that
could
help you out here, that's what Adam Schefter's talking about. I think that's why the Cardinals are in. Any team that's got their quarterback situation settled, you're automatically in a position of power in this
you
league.
You are. They
because
are.
Everyone else is operating out of desperation. We know that's why we're talking about 6 quarterbacks potentially going in the first round of this draft, because everyone else has to operate out of a place of desperation. So I think if the Cardinals get an offer that includes multiple first rounders and you're moving back to a team like Minnesota at 11, where you look above them, you'd have 4 quarterbacks going off in the first round. The Chargers, more than likely a team that's taking offensive line. The Giants are probably taking receiver. The Titans are probably taking offensive line. Atlanta, Chicago, like, you probably lose out on the 3 best receivers there. That probably would put you out of range,
that you
which
can't
would
do.
Be in trouble.
So I'll edit and say, make sure you don't lose one of those 3 receivers, as long as you have a good grade on all of them. If you have a good grade on
yeah.
all of them.
Well, and I mean, for all of those guys, I think anyone
we
would
do.
Feel pretty
And you
good
know what? I know we keep saying if the Chargers stay there, it would look like Joe Alt. I know we'll get to the AFC West, but they got rid of their 2 receivers. Now, Mike Williams was hurt all year. I get
they
it.
They did.
It wouldn't stun me if they went receiver either, so that would be another team taking a receiver.
I do think the one thing, and we talked to Duke Manyweather about this before, who, you know, the depth of this offensive line class, but the receiver class looks even deeper in a lot of people's
it
minds.
Does.
And once
yes.
you get outside of the real top flight tackles, I do think there's a bit of a drop off. And so I think that position you're
right.
going to see some take the premium early on and go there. So Arizona, you would go Marvin Harrison Jr. there.
I would, yes.
I would say if you're going to stay there, yes, Marvin Harrison Jr. is the easy
pick. But if you move for another receiver, I'm cool. I get it.
Yeah.
Get
if it. If you get a premium from a team like Minnesota, who a lot of people have slotted in for trading up for them, I think you got to pick up the phone and I think you got to take those picks because you got a lot of things you got to fix on that team still around your quarterback. Let's go Seattle on this one next down. 16th overall pick here. This is a team we know. Mike McDonald coming in, changing a lot of what's going on there. Dad, where do you see the biggest need? That defense?
Defense.
Something that Mike McDonald thinks highly of there, but offensive line also been something they've been rebuilding steadily in the last few years.
Defense has been bad. Defense was bad against the run. I think giving up over 130-some yards. This is an area I go. Whether you go with an edge guy or whether you go with an interior guy like Murphy, edge guy like Verse, something like that. I would look at the defensive side of the ball.
If Byron Murphy is available, yeah. I think that would be the home. Like, that's going to be the home run pick for anybody. Byron Murphy is becoming top 10 value in terms of the quality of the player. It's just a matter of if he's going to get taken off the board earlier than that by a team like Atlanta potentially at 8, by a team like Chicago even potentially. I think they'd probably go weapon, but there's a number of teams that could be in line for his services before that. I don't know if he makes it down that far.
That's the home run
right there. Troy Fautano on the offensive line would be interesting because I think he's got a lot of position flexibility. You lost Damian Lewis on the interior of that line. You've rebuilt. You've got two great tackles on the perimeter that you had as rookies both together a couple of years ago. Injury is hurt there. And so Fautano's got flexibility if injury pops back up. I think he's one. I'll be curious what happens with him. Coming off the combine, his stock couldn't have been higher. I wonder if water is going to find its level again where, hey, Olu Fashanu, like we talked about before, could end up being one of the top guys taken there. Talisi Fuaga out of Oregon State, I think, is the guy that I would favor out of him and Troy Fautano. And so if all of a sudden he starts to matriculate down, could the guy with that position flexibility as they try and rebuild things up front in Seattle could be an interesting one there. We're going to have the same conversation around the Los Angeles Rams, Dad, coming up at the 19th overall pick because defense overwhelmingly the need for this.
Yeah, just
right
three
now.
Picks later, cornerback was a thought, but they picked up a couple of cornerbacks in the offseason. So I think it now goes back to the D-line. A guy named Aaron Donald retired.
Yeah,
so you got
kind of a biggie.
You got a hole in the middle there. I can't imagine Murphy being there at 19. We just talked about him, if he would even be there at 16.
Sure.
Do you go Latu at the edge or Verse at the edge if they're there as well? I think it's somewhere on the defense up in the front.
And you had a lot of good young guys step up for your defense last year. Byron Young was awesome. Ernest Jones has been great for them at linebacker. Kobe Turner was a revelation at defensive tackle for them last season. But you need another hammer to throw on there. And so, yeah, Byron Murphy, like we said about the Seattle Seahawks, would be the overwhelming win. Latu would be awesome here. Guy we talked to on the show. As pro-ready a pass rusher
really is.
As there is coming into the league right now. Guy that might struggle a little bit more at the point of attack against the run, but if you're looking for someone to offset what you lost as a guy who's the tip of the spear going into your pass rush, that's a guy who can bend. He's got all the defined pass rush moves. There's a lot of that there. Jared Verse could be a little more stout against the run if he falls down
to
that point in time. So I think all of those guys fit in there, but defense really the overwhelming flavor for them. And then we talked about the 49ers a little bit with Jordan Morgan in the last segment, but 31st overall pick there. Offensive line, I think, becomes the big-time need. And for them, I really said along the interior. You look at that right side of the offensive line, too. I think right tackle or right guard, you've got Aaron Banks on the left side of that line that I think's developed nicely for them. And so Jordan Morgan, certainly a name that could be available there. Tyler Guyton, I don't think Graham Barton's going to be available this late in the draft. He'd be the guy, kind of like Byron Murphy. If he somehow fell, that's a value add for anybody who wants interior
Guyton's
flexibility.
Guyton's name's been mentioned, you know, as well with a few teams.
Yeah.
You don't sound as sold on
Well,
him.
You know what? Guyton's going to be about where he ends up. I think, you know, inconsistency and effort shows up on his tape. He's a guy that technically needs a lot of help. Insane physical gifts, though. And the one thing about these Shanahan-McVay offenses, especially with Kyle and the 49ers group, is they want to major in outside zone, which is a guy who ran a lot of that as more of an undersized guy. It does sort of soften the edges on some of the technique that you need to be successful when so much of your offense is built off running, built off play action, and built off all the weapons around you that can help mitigate that here and give him a great place to learn from there, especially with the tackle he'd be playing opposite
of. Again, a team that's in the Super Bowl, less holes to fill as opposed to Arizona, who we talked about at the top, where, hey, maybe take the King's ransom and drop back a few spots. still get a quality wide receiver and grab the assets as well. So teams in all different situations, looking like Arizona, San Francisco on the offensive side, Rams, and the Seahawks probably on the defense.
And this is still the 49ers division.
Said the home teams continue to win 11-0 now. Knicks, Cavs, and Nuggets all 2-0 on the series. So let's talk about how these series prices have changed, guys, because over at the DraftKings Sportsbook, Cavs and Magic were a little bit closer to even. Now the Cavs minus 700, Knicks minus 450. You can get the Sixers at plus 350, and then the Nuggets just remain heavy favorites. I think the Knicks-Sixers is probably the one topic that we should dig into because, like Embiid said, well, he said, I think we're the better team. We will win this series. So now is the time to jump on the Sixers going back home down 0-2. But the question is, do you have faith in them, Senior?
Of those three games we're talking about, I have the most faith in the 76ers. Embiid came back. We wondered how he would be 2 days off that knee injury when he went down.
Bro, that's a tough dude.
I mean, that dude just will not come off the court. He is fantastic. They had this game. I mean, they're up five.
Yeah.
With 30 seconds to go, and Knicks outscore them 8-0 in those last 30 seconds that we're going to get into. But I still think the 76ers, Maxey is. I mean, is he going to most improved player? Right. I mean, now this guy had been coming along, but my God, the year he had, especially when Harden left and then when Embiid went down, he's been absolute money. So I would say the 76ers out of these three series.
Tough night for the others, and that's always the biggest swing in these playoff series from road to home is your other guys stepping up because you look at Embiid and Maxey, 69 of the 101 points for the 76ers came from those two players. Only one other player in Tobias Harris was in double figures, and that was barely with 10 points. I have a lot of respect for what Joel Embiid is doing right now. I just want to say that point blank, period. I know Stugatz is sick and tired of Joel Embiid and all the complaining and all that stuff. But, man, knowing what he's dealt with injury-wise, seeing the load he shouldered, now late it gave way, right? We've talked about it. The worry is over time, does he get ground down? You see it happen in the body in these games where he starts off, they got out-rebounded on the offensive glass badly by the Knicks in game one. That was a big point of emphasis. They talked about it in the broadcast. They got called out in the film room. And that went early on, but late in that game, Joel just doesn't have the lift, and so Isaiah Hartenstein all of a sudden really makes his presence felt in that final swing where he gets the offensive rebound that sets up the Dante DiVincenzo game winner and then goes down to the other glen and is able to chase down Tyrese Maxey, who moves at a different speed than anyone else on the court.
Unreal.
It's the most insane thing to watch. He's mashed down turbo every time he touches the ball, but Dad, we saw that late in the game, that effect of hey, Joel Embiid just does not have that same juice at the end. And so that's why as the series shifts back home, it's going to be on these other guys on the 76ers roster to be able to fill it out at some point and give him some help.
And that's when it usually happens, when those guys get to home. So we'll see on that. Listen, the Sixers had a better field goal percentage shooting here, a better three-point shooting percentage. They made two more threes than the Knicks did. Again, they had the lead.
They did.
With 30 seconds to go.
And then that final 30 seconds, the ref decides all crime is legal, and the purge begins on the court there. And this is kind of the conversation we always have, Dad, because the 76ers complaining about the fact that they couldn't get a timeout at that point, that Tyrese Maxey looks like he got mugged at that point down in the offensive end trying to get the ball in on that same inbounds play. And the Knicks are going, hey, listen, this is the tough basketball we want to play. This is the conversation we always have around endgame sequences. Would you rather the refs swallow the whistles like they did there, let the players decide this the way they did and get this exciting ending, or do you think that was an obvious enough foul that they should have called it here and there was a mistake made?
So I'm gonna get to that, and I'm going to look somewhere where I think a bigger mistake was made. But Brunson, I mean, last night, 8 of 29, game one, 8 of 26. You know, again, not hitting a ton of shots, but he hits that big three to start this sequence, right? He hits the three. Maxey inbounds or gets the ball in the inbound. It gets stolen. DiVincenzo misses. Hartenstein gets a rebound. Dante then hits a three.
Sure.
And then Maxey goes down and gets blocked by Hartenstein. All the things that you mentioned. But in that series of Maxey getting the ball stolen on the inbound pass. I am one of those, I sometimes talk out of both sides of my mouth. What you call early, you should call late.
Not you.
But at the end, I'll say this, because I've said this before. At the end of a game, players, and I remember being on the field, coming to the end of the game, the one thing we would always say when I was in that defensive huddle, whether it was in Houston or Philadelphia or Miami, if it's close at the end, the thought was that we would say this in a huddle, don't expect a call. Don't expect a call. Especially if we're a rusher, don't expect to get held or to get a holding call. Don't expect it. You got to play through it. So
players go in believing, hey, we're not going to get any help from officials.
If we do, okay. And if it's unbelievably egregious, obviously you have to call it. To me, the bigger issue was not getting the timeout.
Right, that one to me.
Now, that you could look at circumstances. The three is made, and as Nick Nurse said, if we don't get the ball in right away, we're going to call a timeout. But when the three is made and they're going to inbound it, the ref on that side, Nick Nurse's side, is backpedaling down the court.
Sure.
Because the ball is going to go the other way. And when the ball doesn't go in right away, Nick Nurse tries to call a timeout. Well, the one guy is under the basket watching and counting. The other guy is backpedaling to the other end. There's nobody supposedly to see it. And then when Maxey has the ball before it's free, they're trying to call a timeout. I think I have more of an issue with that of how do you not see somebody see they're trying to call. It's the perfect situation where you believe a timeout is going to be called.
That, like I said, that's the thing for me is like game cadence-wise. We see timeouts called in situations plenty. As a referee, because I have sympathy as someone who was once the guest referee of the South Carolina Spring game, I like to understand the plights and the sight lines and the things that go into competent officiating in 2024, the year of our Lord. That being said, just like we grade players for the mistake they made not having their eyes in the right spot, that's one you got to be prepared for there because that's a critical juncture of the game. So I'm with you on that. And then as far as the physical nature of the play at the end, they're not expecting that. I do think you're generally right when it comes to that. I think most players we always hear would prefer it the way it went down here at the end of that game. And for us as an entertainment product, if you're a 76ers fan, you're obviously pissed off. But I think there's a lot of things that led to that moment.
Right.
It was a really exciting end of that game. It's everything we've always wanted about players being able to take this into their own hands. And that was the way that Knicks have defined their season this year, scrapping for it, finding a way to make that extra play, and ultimately getting the go-ahead there. So I don't have a huge problem with the officials swallowing their whistle there. I think, again, playoff basketball, we also think of, hey, this is an extraordinarily physical time of year, and so that's kind of what we come to expect. It's just a little bit jarring because I think in this day and age, we're so used to refs inserting themselves in those moments, that being a part of the discussion, that this is the ultimate you're damned if you do, damned if you don't reminder of how these situations go.
So now as it goes to Philly, let's see, because all five starters again for the Knicks in double digits. Does that happen in Philly? And for Philly, as you mentioned, obviously it's Maxey and Embiid, but Tobias Harris gets 10 points. He's the only one, only other person in double digits for them. So does somebody else step up there? So that's the shift that you look for when you shift where the game's
played. Yeah, I think the Knicks are ultimately going to win this series based on what we've seen so far.
But I see 76ers getting a couple.
Oh, no, that's the thing. I think this one can be the one that stays competitive and goes the distance because we've seen Philadelphia been in both these games, been winning this second game by a considerable margin. Embiid has been able to battle through this, and now they're going to have that couple days as the series transitions back to Philadelphia. And so getting that little bit of added rest for him as the role players get in a more comfortable role situation, to me, makes a huge difference.
And me being from Cleveland, I love that my Cavaliers are winning. Sorry you're not getting the love. You're on NBA TV. It's a tough call. You're going to win that series. Congrats. I'm sorry we're not talking more about it, but you know.
That's showbiz, baby. Hey, we'll see you in the second round. Yeah. The Orlando Magic just running out of gas.
Yeah.
I mean, this is who Cleveland's also been the entire year, putting the clamps on people defensively, and we've seen no breathing room for the Orlando Magic. And so that is the extent of our Magic coverage.
Yeah, sorry about that. Sorry.
On Gojo and Golik. Listen,
we'll talk Cleveland more in the next round, right?
It's reaffirming what we thought about Cleveland and then sort of just quieting the people who wanted to give a lot of hype to the Magic, who are a good and talented young team, but I think that's just what it is.
Yeah,
the Magic Cavs getting here.
Difference.
Fantastic stuff. Happy for Kevin Clark and the rest of our friends who are down there supporting the Orlando Magic. Love this for you. A building block. I didn't expect to look up during this season and see the Magic sitting at like the four seed at one point.
Yeah. Yep.
That's great. That's progress. The Magic finding a way to do this every once in a while off the backs of an incredible star player, and Paolo Banchero seems to be that guy for them. Awesome. We love that.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Like, we're giving away $1,000 in bonus bets if you enter the Gojo and Golic draft pick'em pool. Find us at Gojo and Golic on Twitter. You'll see the link there. Go click it and then answer the questions about the draft, like, will there be a trade in the top five? Where will the guy's beloved Sam Hartman be drafted? And who will be the highest drafted Gojo and Golic guest? I like that one. Mm. Go follow the show on Twitter, enter the contest, and make your picks for the 1K in bonus bets. That's fun.
That we love that. At Gojo and Golic on Twitter, man. Go follow the account. Lots of great stuff goes out there anyway. You already should be following it. I'll log on and do a meme every once in a while. All our show clips go out there.
It's always fun, too, to find out what these guys are doing on draft day. I remember mine clearly, where I was drunk, sober, drunk, and then sober again because it took so long for me to be drafted.
Bro to Wave sounds like me at the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah.
I was skinny, fat, then skinny again, then fat for a little while, also drunk during most of that time.
Yeah.
So drunk. God, I was so drunk.
My brother Bob bought a lot of beer for the draft when I was at Notre Dame, and went through a wave there before I got the call from the Houston Oilers. It was like at midnight, and I was like, yeah, cool, thanks.
Sure. See you guys at rookie minicamp. Gonna have a great time there.
Yeah.
But you all can have a lot better time on draft night by, again, going, entering the pool, and trying to win $1,000 in bonus bets, because who doesn't want that? Lots of great stuff. Make predictions. Show your friends how much smarter you are than them. That'll be a great time. So we're looking forward to that right there. We're also looking forward to spilling some tea here in the end.
Yeah.
This is an always giving league when it comes to the off-court drama, the soap opera of it all. And much like the NFLPA decided to do the report cards for the different organizations where we get a lot of the mess, the NBA players just decide everybody can get it. Fellow players, the commissioner of the league, teams around here. So we've got the anonymous player poll that got released by The Athletic yesterday, Claudia. And there's some good stuff in here.
Yeah, so nearly a third of the league voted anywhere from MVP to the one true GOAT, the conversation that always comes up. Overrated and underrated players, which I feel like is so messed up, but that was part of it. The interesting part of this was that Wemby was voted the player that they would sign first if they had to start from scratch to build a roster. So already, we have barely seen Wemby for a full, well, I guess technically now, a full season in the league, and everybody's saying he would be the one player. Not Jokic, not Edwards, not Doncic, Nope, Wemby.
That's something. Yep. Jokic was right there. I mean, it was close, but boy, to have Wemby right at the top.
I mean, he's 20 years old. It makes perfect sense.
But it's not like these guys he beat out are a lot older. I mean, these guys are like 23, 24, 25 years old.
Well, I mean, Jokic is what, 27 or 29?
Older.
He's a little
older,
bit older.
But the other guys there are younger. I mean, Anthony Edwards was just, the first pick a couple of years ago.
Yeah, you know what they're not? 7'4"
with
a handle.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
You know what? You know what they're not is already a guy who could very legitimately win Defensive Player of the Year.
Yep.
Because the other thing we got out of this is, man, people do not like Rudy Gobert.
No, they don't.
Like, and we already knew that, right? Like, going back to the pandemic, he's a guy who seems to play too much. Yeah. Donovan Mitchell did not seem to enjoy being his teammate.
Nope.
All the vibes seemed off there.
Yeah, didn't go well with the start of the pandemic with him and his antics.
Yeah, no, I can say he seems like a guy who plays too much.
Yeah.
Shout out to my former teammate, Chris Stewart, one of our running backs, always used to say, Chris, you're too big to have fun. Rudy Gobert, too big to have fun, clearly. And you throw the French accent on top of it, and it just ruins everything, apparently, because everyone said the most overrated player in the NBA, Rudy Gobert, with 13.6% of the vote.
Bad
the next closest was Jordan Poole, who's on the cusp of also potentially joining some rarefied air and winning, what, his fourth Defensive Player of the Year.
Right.
Which, I don't know, legitimately at this point, I didn't watch every Timberwolves game. Obviously, I'm not a voter when it comes to this stuff. But, man, it is hard to replicate the gravity on defense that our boy Wemby has. You just see everyone, like, you watch it in real time, him just actively turning away people from even thinking about going and shooting. He's such a different force of nature down there.
He's going to be Rookie of the Year, could be Defensive Player of the Year.
I mean, the overwhelming leader in blocks per game. What is he averaging, almost four a game?
What a start to the career. Absolutely amazing.
So, a freak show there. I do think the build a roster from scratch, the fact that LeBron James, at 39 years old, is still getting the same amount of the vote as Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
LeBron James got more amount of that vote than Giannis Antetokounmpo, Steph Curry certainly in there, but wasn't far behind Jason Tatum, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And keep in mind, for all of these, we're talking about a couple hundred votes.
Exactly.
Usually. It's between like 120 and 150 votes.
Yeah, it was 142.
142.
For this.
142. Yeah. About a third of the league.
So, like I said, the Rudy Gobert one, about 81 players voted in that. Most underrated player, Derek White.
Right.
Make Boston fans around here happy. Getting a lot of that vote. A guy who, I kid you not, told him last year, Derek, you need to come on home. You need to come join the Ball Brotherhood.
Oh, boy.
And lo and behold, he does and has probably his best season as a pro. Yep. The proof is in the pudding, man. Once you get the bad fairway off the top of the head, life gets a lot better for everyone involved.
Why don't you stop wearing the hat so much then?
Because it's comfortable.
All right.
It still makes me feel good about
myself. Well, he tied with Jalen Williams, who may be up for most improved player this year, though I think Tyrese Maxey may get that. We'll see.
This is the best one, though.
I love this one. I would love to win this one.
This has to be the most coveted award.
Yes.
And is also the one that clears by a country mile the clear winner. Who in the league would you least like to fight?
Yeah.
Well, we talk about all the time, you know, baseball fights, certainly no one actually wants to throw hands. Basketball fights, you get a little bit warmer
every now
there.
And then, you get a little closer, you know, someone lands something. Shaq a few times threw some punches that if they landed, I think would have killed somebody.
Yep. James Johnson.
Yeah.
The overwhelming answer.
By far.
Of the 125 votes cast, 53.6%, who James Johnson previously said that he holds a 20-0 record as a kickboxer, a 7-0 record as a mixed martial artist, and a black belt in karate. His nickname, I didn't know this because I didn't know him, is Bloodsport.
Yeah.
That's not a guy you want to fight. Almost everybody said.
No.
And he also said, if you gave me a year to prepare, he believes that he could beat John Jones in a UFC match.
Well, John Jones has to be eligible and not, you know, positive for something.
No, that's a fair point here. That was Mike Golic Sr. that said all that stuff. Because I promise,
listen,
you're not going to catch me in public fixing my mouth
John
and
Jones,
say something negative.
Fantastic fighter, but,
it's not going to
be available, right?
Hey, listen.
All right.
Again, that's Mike Golic Sr.
But, hey,
saying those things.
That's a vote you want. Because, as I said, while I think hockey players are some of the toughest players on the planet, I would not want to win the Lady Bing Award in the NHL, right?
Oh, yeah.
The most sportsman-like player.
Or, yes.
You know, I would not want to win that. This is the one I want to win. Someone say, Golic's the least guy I want to fight. I guarantee you that was never said about me.
No, God, I can't. I couldn't fight worth a damn. No,
me neither.
How's Boban on there? I feel like Boban is such a gentle giant, though. But, come on.
I always said, Claudia, there's different levels of warning that physical size can off. Like in a football locker room, I have plenty of buddies of mine that were tight ends and linebackers who are big guys and like jacked dude.
Yep. Yeah.
But size-wise, you're more accessible. I always said that's an invitation for a dumbass at a bar who wants to go and try his hand and look cool in front of his buddies. Those guys are still invitation size. Once you get into offensive line range, the guys that are 6'7", 330 pounds, that's deterrent size.
Yeah.
Boban's deterrent. He's just too big to try and even mess with. He was also in John Wick 3, which
he
immediately
was.
Lends
but
to your
also, get a guy that size who has the rep of being don't mess with guys.
Well, that's Stephen Adams. Yeah. Like, Stephen Adams was second on this list here. Gigantic Kiwi. No one wants to mess. Stephen Adams, who everyone thinks is 40 and is still somehow sub 30 years old, is beyond me. So he also a well-earned place on this list. But I can't get over this quote. An anonymous NBA player talking about James Jones. He said,
James
quote,
Johnson.
James Johnson, excuse me. Quote, he can actually fight. He's different. He's crazy. He's one of those where you won't win, but if you do win, you'll have to kill him.
Yeah.
Like the man, and like clearly James Johnson does not need anyone else telling him these things to feel good. He's a man very secure in his ability in this spot. One guy even said, is he still in the league? He's a triple black belt. I'm not effing with James. There's other guys where I might actually lose the fight, but I'm not effing with James. He might kick me in my head. There's difference. There's levels to this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, there is.
Oh, they also did the GOAT conversation, and now we have numbers to it for the guys actually playing. MJ got 45.9%.
Right. LeBron, 42.
Going against the guy in the league right now.
Yeah. They are, but I mean, it's closer.
It's closer than I thought it would be.
Well, and you know what I should say? Like, none of it's surprising because Kobe Bryant got a fair amount of votes in this, too. The generation of players that might be voting and playing now, they've grown up with LeBron being the head of the league most of their adult lives and certainly grew up idolizing Kobe like so many others.
Ones, NBA player, they're asked your favorite current non-NBA athlete. One NBA player said Kirk Cousins.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.